There's a certain well-known IGN review for Pokemon Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire that infamously gave the games a 7.8 out of 10, citing too much water. But is it actually? Like, is this too much water?
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 To find out for sure, we need to figure out exactly how much water there is in the Hoenn region and then compare it to the amount of water on Earth, a planet which, I think you'll agree, has the perfect amount of water. Earth is 71% water by surface area, so to do this comparison, all we'd have to do is go through the Hoenn region and count every single tile by hand, and then separate the land tiles from the water tiles and compare the percentage. But obviously, that's nuts. No one would ever do that. That would take so long. I did it. I did this. I really genuinely... Please subscribe. I actually counted them by hand, every single one. It took forever. My family hasn't eaten in weeks. Please subscribe. So here's the plan. Counting tiles in Pokemon Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire would be really difficult because these are 3D remakes of Hoenn, and in a 3D environment, it's kind of hard to tell where a land tile begins or ends, or where the water begins or ends, and also how big the tiles are. But we're in luck because these are basically one-to-one remakes of the Gen 3 games, so we can just count the tiles in the original Gen 3 versions of Hoenn, and it'll probably be almost exactly identical to what the outcome would have been in the 3DS remakes. So I'm gonna go through all of the maps for every overworld part of Hoenn in Pokemon Sapphire. That means all the towns, all the routes, the Safari Zone, everything. And I'm gonna count every single water tile and every single land tile that you can actually traverse. Now, the reason for this distinction, whether or not a tile is traversable, is because this IGN review is a game review. They're talking about the gameplay experience. The reviewer is saying there's too much water, there's too much surfing. So I don't care about water tiles that are outside the boundaries of play or land tiles that are outside the boundaries of play, like, you know, mountaintops you can see but can't access or water beyond the rocks on certain routes. I'm not counting those. I'm counting only the traversable tiles, which in a sense actually makes this harder because I can't just tally up every water tile in the game. I have to go in and individually count which ones you can actually access, which is worse. We don't care about interiors because we aren't counting the water inside of buildings when we talk about Earth's 71% water by surface area. And also, if we counted the interiors of buildings and caves, I think we would hyperinflate the amount of land tiles in Hoenn. So I'm just doing overworld maps. That includes the fact that I'm not going to do the sea floor, since that's just sort of land that's beneath the water. Or is that a water tile? Not going to worry about that. Just overworld traversable tiles. Then once we've counted every single tile, we'll just compare the percentage of land to water tiles and then compare that to Earth's 71% water by surface area. And with that, let's cue the really long sped up section of me counting every single tile in Gen 3. Here we go. The program you see on screen in this sped up footage is called Advance Map. It's a pretty old but really reliable mapping tool for the Gen 3 games, and I'm in the Movement Permissions tab here in Pokemon Sapphire, and basically how movement permissions work in Gen 3 is that tiles are auto-assigned or sometimes hand-assigned movement permissions that dictate what the tile is. So for instance, all of these red 1 tiles, those are all non-traversable. You bonk into them when you walk into them. And other stuff might be surfable or walkable or bikeable and so forth. Basically, I went through the movement permissions and labeled them with an unused label to dictate which tiles I'd already counted. I did a lot of this on my Twitch stream. I did like two-hour sessions, and that's the footage you're seeing here. I wanted to do it with my Twitch chat so that, you know, they would get a peek behind the curtain, but also I wouldn't go absolutely nuts doing this by myself because, spoiler warning, this is really boring and not exactly how I thought I'd spend my adult life, but you know what? Here we are and I'm grateful and it's all good, baby. So come on over to the Twitch sometime and you can do really epic and cool stuff like watch me count. Regardless, after I finish counting all the tiles on a given map, I would move on to the next one. And you know, this is not gonna shock you. The ocean routes were absolute hell to count. I did a lot of this on stream, but I also did a lot off stream. Like I said, I did about two-hour sessions on Twitch, and then a couple of 2 to 3 hour sessions by myself off stream. I think all told, I spent between 10 to 12 hours counting tiles in these games. But once I had all of the tiles counted, then I could start in on the data analysis process. And that brings us to everybody's favorite segment that I obviously do in every single video, and this isn't the first time it's happening, and we all know it, and we're all gonna say it together now, because again, you all know what it is, because it's everyone's favorite segment, and it's real, and it's old. And that, of course, is the Spreadsheet Zone. Okay, folks, welcome to the Spreadsheet Zone. It's time to take a look at the results. As you can see, I have here in the spreadsheet every single route, every single town, the Safari Zone, everything all tabulated. We've got the traversable land tile count. We've got the traversable water tile count. We've got the total traversable tiles, which is just the addition between the two, the percent land and the percent water. Let's start with the towns. Here in the towns, we've got an interesting, but perhaps not surprising result, which is that the vast majority of the towns have very little water or none at all. Now, we've got a total amount of traversable tiles around 10,000 for the towns, and the percent land there is 72%, so about 7,000 land tiles. Going over to the routes, though, the story is pretty different. Obviously, here we have routes like, you know, in the Safari Zone, there are quite a few that are just land. And in the routes themselves, you know, Route 101 at the very beginning of the game, all land. And in the early routes, that's kind of a common story. There's very little water. But once you get to the ocean-bound routes, you know, the deep ones, especially like routes 129, 130, 131, which are really, you know, towards the end game, that eastern part of Hoenn, that's all water. It is 100% water. And those are big maps. And that results in a massively skewed water-favoring total. I mean, if you look here, amongst the routes and the Safari Zone, 58% of traversable tiles are water tiles. And again, that's not that surprising. I think this is what the review is kind of getting at, is that a large chunk of the game takes place after you leave Lily Cove. And once you leave Lily Cove, that whole eastern seaboard of Hoenn is just that. It's a seaboard. There is so much water there. And if we look at our max down here, the most land is Route 111. That is a huge route. That's the route with the desert in it, just north of Mauville and east of Lava Ridge. And that route is just so much land. There's very little water. I mean, it's a literal desert, so not surprising. On the flip side, though, we have Route 124 with 4,000 water tiles. 4,000! In the combined sheet, we can see that putting all of the towns and routes, every single overworld map together, Hoenn is 53.59, or about 54% water by surface area. With a little over 46% land, that means it's a little under half land, a little over half water. This is kind of a surprising result, but not incredibly surprising. I was honestly expecting it to be a little more skewed towards land, just because such a large portion of the game takes place on land. But I think the big reason that the disparity happens is that water routes are really open. There's very little obstruction that's not just at the boundaries of the maps. Whereas on the land routes, you're pretty honed into like little corridors between trees. But our total number of tiles, I think this is kind of an interesting result that we get as a result of this whole experiment. 64,000 total traversable tiles in the game. I'll also say, because I counted these by hand instead of using like a computer vision algorithm or an image processing algorithm, which I certainly could have done. Obviously, that is definitely a path towards doing this, is putting the maps in one by one to some kind of image processing algorithm. First of all, one reason I didn't do that is because I wanted to do only the traversable tiles, and it becomes very difficult to tell a program like, okay, this is traversable and this isn't. The other reason is because I'm lazy, but then wound up doing something way harder anyway, counting them by hand. Because I counted them by hand, I'm not willing to excuse like 5% on either side. I feel like the error bar here is probably about 5%. Pretty sizable error bar, but not massive, and it still puts us in the range of there being more water than land overall. But where does this result leave us? 53.59, about 54% water by surface area, still vastly less than Earth. So in the premise of this video, obviously I would say Hoenn is not too much water, and I really love Gen 3, and I kind of agree with myself there and with the data that it's not too much water. But I also kind of agree with this review. If you actually go and read the IGN review, Callie, the author, doesn't really mention there being too much water at all. This is partially because when the review was originally published, it came with a sort of pro and con list, like at a glance version of the review that's, you know, it's supposed to be kind of like clickbait. That had the con of too much water next to the 7.8 out of 10, and that's what went viral. But I mean, the author probably just had to do that for clicks. Their boss probably told them, hey, we need like some quick log lines we can just throw in there. Can you just tell me the big overarching things in the review that'll get some clicks? That's probably not what they wanted the review to be internalized as, because if you go and actually read the review, Callie mentions that there are a lot of water types, which there are tons in Hoenn, and that there is a good amount of water, but never are the words too much water said verbatim in the actual body of the review. And frankly, 7.8 out of 10 I think is a pretty fair score for the Gen 3 remakes. And I do agree, if you play through Hoenn, there is a lot of water. I'm personally fine with it, but especially looking at the data here, I mean, if half or over half of the tiles that you traverse in the game are water, that can be a problem, especially because surfing is just kind of slow compared to like biking, or at least it feels slow because you very rarely feel like you're making a lot of distance. Surfing is actually pretty fast in the game as far as movement is concerned, but you are moving through a lot of tiles that look exactly the same, and you're battling all the same trainers. All these swimmers just have like water types. It feels very samey. And I get that and understand it, and I do think it's a valid complaint. So at the end of the day, this IGN review got clowned on a lot, but I think it's kind of fine. Like, the review itself is actually pretty reasonable, and the author likes Pokemon a lot, so I don't think they didn't give it a fair shake or anything. So yeah, at the end of the day, I think there might be a little too much water in Hoenn, but according to the data and the premise of this video, it's not too much water because it's less than Earth. But again, maybe they were onto something. Thank you so much for watching, and please consider supporting the show on Patreon. The link is in the description. What you see on screen right now are all my top tier patrons on Patreon. Thank you so much to all of them. Whenever there aren't sponsors, or if ad revenue is weird on YouTube, which happens literally all the time, the Patreon helps keep the show going, which is really amazing. Thank you so much to everyone on the Patreon.